Can you pay too much attention to what you're eating and eat a little too healthy? Well, there's a new eating disorder called orthorexia that says you can. Find out all about it as well as our regular features today on episode 97 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello and welcome to Fat to Fit Radio. So Russ, how are you doing this week?
I am doing just dandy, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing dandy, but how is your weight loss? Is it just as dandy?
No, it is not going so hot right now. Down to 215.2, and if you're keeping track at home, that's pitiful. It's about it's about a quarter pound, I guess.
And it looks like you're about 1 pound in the last month. So what's really holding you back? Is it time for a weight loss intervention?
You know, it's been, eating goals have been good. I have to say the one thing is the workouts have not been going as well. The exercises are just not feeling, you know, motivated and not getting out there and being as enthusiastic about the workouts. And they're just feeling like work now. And so, I don't know, maybe that's most of it. But, the weight's not going up. The eating goals, I say the eating is keeping everything in check. But I just need to find an enthusiasm here for some more workouts.
So do you have any more goals? You were mentioning that there was a race that you wanted to run in. Did that ever work out?
No, you know, the foot has actually been, maybe that's part of it too, but the foot has been painful. Every morning I wake up and the foot has just the same amount of pain. You know, no matter what I do, it seems to be not getting better. So I haven't gone to the doctors and haven't done that yet, but maybe in the near future here, because it's not getting any better. So that race didn't happen. So other than really the goal here at the Hunter's Show, I really have not had any kind of fitness goals.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to light a fire under your butt the next week or so. And for the next show, we're going to have some better results. And, you know, after the show here, I'm going to try and give you all the best advice I can. And then next week, we can report to the listeners what I told you to do, and we'll see if it works out. Because I can pretty much guarantee you I'm going to get you back on track.
All right. Well, looking forward to it.
All right. Well, let's move into our email and comment section.
Yes, our first email came in here from Rocky.
And she wrote, "Good morning, me again. So I'm currently re-listening to episode number 47, The Heart Attack Grill, and Russ is telling a story about going to Legoland with his son and not being able to go on the ride with his son. Now that you're a lot smaller and lighter than when the show was posted, have you been able to go on that ride with him? He must be happy to ride with you."
Yeah, so I responded to Rocky via email, but yeah, you know, I think I mentioned and reported in a show after that, I indeed was able to go on that ride with all the small kids, and luckily my weight loss has kept up with their, you know, getting larger and growing, as little boys tend to do, so it's been really fun. I also mentioned to Rocky in the email that I was going to be heading over to Arizona, to the Tempe area, which is, I believe is where the Heart Attack Grill is. So despite all that negative information, I believe both of us were like, hey, if we're in the area, I think we need to stop by. So I may indeed be stopping by there, Jeff.
Well, you know, that brings up a point. We did the show on the Heart Attack Grill because it was so over the top and so ridiculously bad for people. And it was just flaunting in its unhealthiness to everyone. And we had a little bit of flack from people after we aired that show, because they're saying, you should not be talking about a place like this because people are going to go to this place and get even more unhealthy and fatter than what they are. And we responded with our entire philosophy. We sat down and we really thought about this. What are we trying to get across? So bringing up the Heart Attack Grill again, I went back to that show and I looked in our show notes, and we're going to go over again our total philosophy of Fat to Fit Radio for people who've heard this. This has been more than 50 shows ago, and for new listeners, this is where everything is laid out.
Yeah, this first point here is diets don't work. Following a set plan such as the South Beach or Atkins or the Zone Diet, or going to one commercial diet center like Jenny Craig or Nutrisystem with those prepackaged foods, or even programs like Weight Watchers, simply don't work. Now, don't get us wrong here. They all work in the short term while people are following them and being compliant to the program, but more than 99% of them fail in the long run.
And our second main belief is that if you want to be a thinner, healthier person, live the lifestyle of a thinner and healthier person. It's all about changing your lifestyle to that healthier person. If you start now, rather than when you reach your goal weight, you will never have to go off any sort of temporary diet. If you look at the example of an active, healthy person who breaks their leg and then they're forced to be sedentary for a couple of months, they're probably going to put on some fat and some extra weight. But when they get mobile again, the weight just seems to fall right off. They don't go on any sort of diet. They just start eating and exercising like that thinner, healthier person that they were and still are, and their body just seems to catch up to what they really are.
Yep, our third belief here is that undereating will lead to overeating. Your body is designed to survive, and you can starve yourself in the short term, but your body's desire to not starve to death will always win out over any amount of willpower.
That's right, and the most important thing while losing weight for the long term is to go slow. If you spent the last 5 years putting on the weight, don't expect to take it off in 5 months or 5 weeks. Rapid weight loss leads to muscle loss. The last thing that you want to do is lose muscle. The real goal should be fat loss, not weight loss. By losing muscle, you're slowing down your metabolism and making it easier for that weight to come back on in the future.
That's right, and we believe in a true lifestyle of health, not perfection 100% of the time. Nobody is perfect. If you constantly deny yourself your favorite sinful foods, you will only crave them more. There's no need to feel guilty for a once-in-a-while meal like Thanksgiving or Christmas or even a wedding. Healthy, active people enjoy those foods and events once in a while. Chronic dieters lose their ability to enjoy these things. Now, here's a great quote that we use every year during Christmas time. It's not important what you eat between Christmas and New Year's. What is important is what you eat between New Year's and Christmas.
That's so true. And our last main belief here is that goal setting is the real key to getting results in the short term and keeping yourself on track for the long term. If living this thinner, healthier lifestyle is not natural for you, what you need to do is set goals and ways to measure that you are on track. Simply put, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Yeah, I guess kind of really succinctly kind of all our beliefs in just a few minutes, Jeff.
Well, you know, whenever we answer questions, they all really fall back to those beliefs. When people are concerned about losing weight fast, we always tell them, no, slow is the best way to go. And we found out over the last couple of years, yes, people are getting slow results and the weight is staying off. So it's great to know over time that this is working for a lot of people.
Yep. Well, let's get on to our second email here, and it is from listener Brian, and he wrote here, "Hi guys, love the podcast. I'm trying to make a permanent lifestyle change after losing 30 pounds last year and then gaining it all back in 12 months. I weighed 225 after the new year, and through your guidance and my determination to make this a permanent change, I have slowly gotten down to 208 pounds and feel great. My question to you is regarding my weight fluctuations during this process. I tend to eat more on the weekends and stay very disciplined during the week, staying around 2,000 to 2,200 calories. But on the weekends, I eat around 4,000 calories per day. On Monday when I weigh myself, I weigh about 4 pounds heavier than I did on Friday. Note, during the week, I work out with weights 2 times a week and play tennis for an hour per day. Plus, I'm active coaching my son's baseball team 2 games a week. In doing my diet this way, I've been able to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week consistently. It's like a 2 steps forward, 1 step back approach. What are your thoughts about dieting this way? From hearing your podcast, I would venture to say I'm probably not eating enough during the weekdays and eating too much on the weekends. However, it's working for me. Am I potentially damaging my metabolism?"
Well, on the whole, I'm not going to rate your diet at 100% for sure, but it is better than where you were in the past. You said that you lost 30 pounds last year, but gained it all back within a year, and I think that you just proved a lot of our points in our philosophy right there. Now, I did some calculations and estimations, and I figured out that your basal metabolic rate is around 2,100 calories. So during the week, you are eating right at your BMR, which isn't great, but you already know that. You are eating right on the danger level of slowing down your metabolism. We recommend never eating below 20% above your BMR level. However, when you add in your weekend meals, let's just call it refeedings, your average calorie intake for the week is around 2,500 to 2,600 calories, which coincidentally for you happens to be 20% above your basal metabolic rate. So it worked out that your average intake is at our minimum recommended level for an entire week. Now, given your activity that you do, you could be eating 2,500 calories or so per day and get the same weekly fat loss results, but you're choosing to do it with a feast or famine approach. Believe it or not, you are sort of doing one of our advanced weight loss techniques called zigzag. That Advanced Weight Loss Techniques show is number 65 for those who want to go back to hear all about it. Now, to keep your body from going into starvation mode by eating at or below your BMR, the zigzag technique has you refeeding yourself at higher caloric levels every few days. This takes the stress off your body, and it will work for maybe up to a few months. And this is what you're actually doing right now. Now, I don't have any criticism of the concept of what you're doing. It's just that it needs to be toned down a bit. Eating a little more during the week and a little less on the weekends. That's the ideal here. Now, in reality, I do exactly what you do, and I've done it for years, and it has worked for me. In the summer, I like to sit on a patio with friends on a Friday afternoon. I eat around 150 calories below my maintenance level all week intentionally, and that allows me about an extra 900 calories on a Friday. I can eat and drink an extra 900 calories guilt-free. I plan ahead to do that. As for weighing 4 pounds more on Mondays, you didn't gain 4 pounds of fat. Most of that weight will be the weight of the food that remains inside you and retained water. For example, if I share a plate of nachos on Friday, I'm going to be 2 to 3 pounds heavier on Saturday because I'm not used to eating a lot of salt and I'll retain a lot of water. So if you just tone things down a little bit, raise your calories a little bit in the weekdays, cut down a little bit on the weekends, make things a little bit more balanced, and you will do fine.
Yeah, interesting. You kind of backed into the whole zigzag technique there.
Well, I think from his viewpoint, he's trying to diet so hard and cutting down his calories, and by the weekend, he just wants to binge and eat more and enjoy food. You know, if you balance it out, you can eat till you're full all throughout the week, but I do understand him because I do it myself, and usually it's, you know, 100, 150 calories less during the week, and it does average out for me.
Well, good. Well, I want to thank Rocky for her question and Brian for his question. Thank you very much. If you'd like to get your comment or question to us, there are a few ways you can do that. The first one is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on the website, fattofitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, it's time for the web report, and Jeff has a cool little list for us this week.
That's right. This list came from sparkpeople.com, and it's 15 simple truths about food. Now, there's 15 here, but I'm just going to quickly list 5 of them. So, Russ, why don't you start off with us?
All right, here, the first myth on the list is frozen foods are less nutritious than fresh foods. But the truth is that flash frozen vegetables, including those found in many frozen meals, may actually be more nutritious than some fresh vegetables. Now, the moment a fruit or vegetable is picked from the farm, it begins to lose nutrients. Because food travels long distances from farm to table, in today's global economy, the fresh foods at your supermarket can be several days or weeks old. Most frozen vegetables are flash frozen so quickly after picking that they retain most of their health-enhancing nutrients. They can be more economical, too. And this is what I found, too, Jeff, that I use a lot of frozen vegetables, and it does end up being a lot cheaper, and they taste just as good.
Well, let's go on to the next myth that I've chosen here, and it is, you might as well give up all of your favorite foods if you want to lose weight. And the truth, this common practice can backfire even on those with a very high level of willpower. It's simply unrealistic to think that you can cut out all of the foods that you love without ever rebelling. By categorizing foods as good and bad, you're only setting yourself up to want what you can't have. Hey, and that's just right one of our core beliefs. Undereating and denying your favorite foods will only backfire.
That's right. Well, here's myth number 3 that you've chosen. All packaged or processed foods are bad for you. And the truth is that it's true that many packaged foods are highly processed, high in calories, sodium, and added sugars, and low in nutrients. Just because a food comes in a package does not mean that it is highly processed or bad for you. Brown rice, whole wheat bread, milk, low-fat yogurt, frozen vegetables, pre-sliced fruit, all of these healthful foods come in packages. Don't write off every food that's packaged. Look at the ingredients list to be the judge about quality of the food and its ingredients. And that's one of those things that the number of ingredients, you want to be really low on a package, right, you know, 1 or 2 if you can.
So true. Well, here's the 4th one. If you don't eat enough healthy foods, taking a supplement will cover your bases. But the truth is, a poor diet supplemented with vitamins is still a poor diet. Food remains your best source of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and phytochemicals that are necessary for good health. And there has been no evidence to date that proves people who take supplements are any healthier than those who don't.
And last one here, Jeff, you've chosen lucky number 13. When going to a restaurant, the best choice for weight loss is usually a salad. The truth is, salads can run the gamut of healthiness depending on what is in them. Although that big bowl of greens may be packed full of antioxidants and fiber, it can also be laden with fat, cholesterol, and sodium, not to mention an overabundance of calories. Some restaurant salads can even contain more calories than a cheeseburger. That means ordering salad is no guarantee you're eating a healthy meal. And Jeff, that, I remember we've had multiple lists here of like the most unhealthy salads. I remember some of them being like 1,200 to like 1,500 calories for a salad.
And even worse than that, it can be worse than a cheeseburger and large fries in a lot of cases.
So we'll have a link in the show notes where you can read all the rest of those 15 myths. But Jeff, you've got a second item here.
That's right. Listener Mike sent us a link, and the link came from Scientific American, which is right up my alley. And the article is entitled Carbs Against Cardio, More Evidence That Refined Carbohydrates, Not Fats, Threaten the Heart. And I'll just read the first paragraph, which is a great summary of this article. Eat less saturated fat. That has been the take-home message from the U.S. government for the past 30 years. But while Americans have dutifully reduced the percentage of daily calories from saturated fat since 1970, the obesity rate during that time has more than doubled, diabetes has tripled, and heart disease is still the country's biggest killer. Now, a spate of new research, including a meta-analysis of nearly two dozen studies, suggests a reason why. Investigators have picked the wrong culprit. Processed carbohydrates, which many Americans eat today in place of fat, may increase the risk of obesity, diabetes, and heart disease more than fat. And you know, it's really nice to see that the literature is finally backing up what we all know. It's eating the processed carbohydrates and the junk foods that are really causing all of these problems. And Russ, do you remember, I think it was our second or third show, we started talking about this when we brought up Susan Powder and how we blamed her for being responsible for making so many people overweight in the 80s because she had that mantra of fat makes you fat and don't eat fat and it doesn't matter what you eat as long as you're not eating fat.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite show titles we've come up so far. I believe it was Susan Powder Made Me Fat. It's in season one, if you want to take a listen to that. No, that was, I remember that, Fat Makes You Fat. I remember her watching her with her weight loss insanity, I believe it was, or she was on the infomercials quite a bit and running all those talk shows like Oprah of the time.
Well, it's nice to hear that we're really getting backed up in the scientific community. But Russ, what do you have for us this week?
Well, Jeff, you know, I'm a fickle creature when it comes to my food logging websites and applications. I was real into Livestrong, and then I tried about, half a dozen other programs and websites before I went to the Daily Burn. But I'm always looking for that next thing that makes the calorie counting process easier. Multiple listeners have mentioned in emails recently that they've had a lot of success with a program and website called MyFitnessPal, myfitnesspal.com. I apparently signed up in 2007 on this because I went over to the website and to check it out, but I haven't been back. I kind of went to it and it wasn't really my thing at the time, and it's improved quite a bit. And I decided to revisit it and give it another whirl. It's good. They made a lot of great enhancements to the site. The food log was quick at logging on the food I ate today. It was really nice. They have a very good database of foods, including my favorite fast food. I don't have time to make my own. It's El Pollo Loco. They even have the new items they have there, steak, which is cool. You can create custom meals and add foods to the database if there are those few that you can't find. There are blogs on there. You can have your own blog. They have forums, and there's a complete community there as well if you want to ask questions and talk to people there. Now, it also offers exercise tracking, including Wii bowling and other Wii sports games that you might be doing part of your everyday exercises. Now, no exercise tracker has a comprehensive database of exercises, but MyFitnessPal has the basics. And if you're on your elliptical or walking or running, doing some basic weightlifting, you will find that in there and you can track those things. It's real nice. And here's the kicker that made me want to try it out more as my main way of logging calories and exercises. They have an iPhone app and it's free. Actually, the whole service is free. I haven't found anything that I haven't had to pay for yet. And actually, the application on the iPhone is very snappy. And that, I can really appreciate that. It was very intuitive, but most of all, it was fast. Things were snapping on the screen. The access rate, everything on it was just really, really nice. And a little easier to use than even the Daily Burn app. So I'm looking into using this for the next week and trying it out. Like I said, a lot of listeners have mentioned it. It's just kind of in passing, like, yeah, I know I've been using MyFitnessPal to log my food, and so I'm giving it a try.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting. And, of course, we'll have links in the show notes for MyFitnessPal as well.
All right, we're going to head into today's feature, and today we're talking about orthorexia.
That's right. Orthorexia is a fairly new eating disorder, and it was first introduced only in 1997. Now, my simple definition of an orthorexic is someone who becomes obsessed about eating the most healthy, nutritious, and perfect diet. Now, by obsession, I mean they spend hours per day researching and planning and preparing their meals. Many become so concerned about removing any foods that they consider to be bad that they end up making themselves even more unhealthy. For example, a person will eventually die without any salt. It is healthy to cut back your salt intake, but absolutely no salt will kill you eventually. Now, before I get started into the details of orthorexia, most of our listeners are going to be concerned that they are actually developing orthorexia. We are all concerned about eating as healthy as we can, and we are all going to have some of the signs and symptoms of orthorexia. So when do you cross the line from being concerned about what you are eating and becoming obsessed with it? If you are reading a lot of diet books and nutrition books and measuring out your food to count calories, is this going to lead to an eating disorder if you work on it just too hard? Well, you can rest assured that the answer is no. Obsession is different from regular habits and routines. Just because you brush your teeth every single day does not make you obsessed with dental hygiene. Now, I have one really important point here about eating disorders in general. Eating disorders are not dieting that has gone bad. An anorexic didn't just start dieting and then couldn't stop. Someone suffering from bulimia didn't suffer from nausea from food poisoning and then just couldn't stop. Now, according to nationaleatingdisorders.org, eating disorders are a complex medical and psychiatric illness. Eating disorders are classified as a mental illness in the American Psychiatric Association's Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders. They are considered to often have a biological basis and co-occur with other mental illnesses such as major depression, anxiety, or obsessive compulsive disorder. So let's get right into the details of orthorexia. And first of all, it isn't a generally accepted syndrome yet. Here's a quote from Dr. Stephen Bratman. He is the first person to have coined the term orthorexia.
It should be noted that orthorexia nervosa is not a condition that a physician will diagnose, as there is no clinical guideline for this disorder. It is a condition that has been observed as an extreme pattern of dietary purity and has not yet been identified under the clinical diagnostic manual. Orthorexia nervosa is an obsession with a pure diet where it interferes with a person's life. It becomes a way of life filled with chronic concern for the quality of food being consumed. When a person suffering with orthorexia nervosa slips up from wavering from their perfect diet, they may resort to extreme acts of further self-discipline, including even stricter regimens and fasting. This transference of all of life's value into the act of eating makes orthorexia a true disorder. In this essential characteristic, orthorexia bears many similarities to the two well-known eating disorders, anorexia and bulimia. Where the bulimic and anorexic focus on the quantity of food, the orthorexic fixates on the quality. All three give food an excessive place in the scheme of life.
Now we have a little orthorexia quiz here, and it's a 10-question quiz to determine if you might have orthorexia. If you answer yes to two or three of these questions, you have at least a touch of orthorexia. A score of 4 or more means that you're in trouble. And if all of these statements apply to you, well, you just might need some help. So let's start off with question number one.
Question number one here is, do you spend more than 3 hours a day thinking about food? For 4 hours, give yourself 2 points. The time measurement includes cooking, shopping, reading about your diet, discussing or evangelizing it with other friends, and joining internet chat groups on the subject. 3 hours a day is too much time to think about healthy food. Life is meant for love, joy, passion, and accomplishment. Absorption with righteous food seldom reduces any of these things.
The second question, do you plan tomorrow's food today? Orthorexics tend to dwell on upcoming menus. Today I'll eat steamed broccoli, while tomorrow I will boil Swiss chard. The day after that, I think I'll make brown rice with adzuki beans, etc. If you get a thrill of pleasure from contemplating a healthy menu the day after tomorrow, something might be wrong with your focus.
All right, question number three. Do you care more about the virtue of what you eat than the pleasure you receive from eating it? It's one thing to love to eat, but for an orthorexic, it isn't the food itself. It's the idea of the food. You can pump yourself up so giddily with pride that you don't even taste it going down.
Question four. Have you found that as the quality of your diet has increased, the quality of life has correspondingly diminished? The problem with orthorexia is that healthy food doesn't feed your soul. If you spend too much energy in what you put in your mouth, pretty soon the meaning will drain out of the rest of your life.
Question number five here. Do you keep getting stricter with yourself? Like other addictions, orthorexia tends to escalate, demanding increasing vigilance as time passes. The diet of yesterday isn't pure enough for tomorrow. Over time, the rules governing healthy eating get more rigid. And if you're an orthorexic, you get a grim pleasure from this.
The next question, do you sacrifice experiences you once enjoyed to eat the food you believe is right? Because of its confused scale of values, orthorexia leads to a crazy allocation of interest. Have you fallen into this trap? Will you turn down an invitation to eat at a friend's house because the food there isn't healthy enough for you? Do you find that obsessive thoughts of healthy food occupy your mind while you watch your child perform in a play at school?
On seventh question here, do you feel an increased sense of self-esteem when you are eating healthy food? Do you look down on others who don't? One of the seductive aspects of orthorexia is that it allows one to feel superior to other people. After all, healthy eating is everywhere extolled. Orthorexia seems to be right up there with good work habits and a clean life. And this orthorexia has an aspect that can make it harder to shake than other eating disorders. While anorexic and bulimics feel ashamed of their habits, orthorexics strut with pride. Look at those degenerates, the mind says of everyone else, hopelessly addicted to junk.
Question number eight. Do you feel guilt or self-loathing when you stray from your diet? If you're an orthorexic, you feel guilt and shame when you eat foods that don't fit the anointed diet. Your sense of self-esteem is so linked to what you eat that tasting a morsel of forbidden food feels like a sin. The only way to regain self-respect is to recommit yourself to even stricter eating, to despise yourself when you stray from the path of food righteousness.
All right, number nine here on the list, almost done. Does your diet socially isolate you? Once you've reached a certain point, the rigidity demanded by orthorexia makes it truly difficult for you to eat anywhere but home. Most restaurants don't serve the right foods, and even when they do, you won't trust that it's been prepared correctly. Even your friends inexplicably fail to cater to your personal preferences.
And the final question, number 10, when eating the way you are supposed to, do you feel a peaceful sense of total control? Life is complicated, unpredictable, and often scary. It is not always possible to control your life, but you can take control of what you eat. A heavy-handed domination over what goes onto your fork or spoon can create the comfortable illusion that your life is no longer in danger of veering from the plan. So Russ, can you identify with any of these questions on the list?
Yes, as we're going through the list, particularly the number two on the list was, do you plan tomorrow's food today? Now, I'm constantly deciding what I'm going to eat tomorrow because I don't want to be caught without some anything to eat, or my only choice would be something bad to eat. So I'm constantly doing that. I think maybe the other one was maybe I might sacrifice some experience because I'm not going to eat the food. Like maybe I might not want to go to the county fair because all they have is a bunch of junk that I don't want to eat. And so the whole process of maybe trying to find something healthy just seems overwhelming, and maybe you don't want to go. But I haven't let that stop me on most things in the past.
Well, this is one of the reasons I wanted to bring up orthorexia, because we recommend a lot of the things that are symptoms of orthorexia. And really the distinction is when it becomes compulsive and that is your entire focus of your life, then you've stepped over the line. I mean, I can tell people what I had for lunch for number of ounces of chicken and grams of rice and how many vegetables, etc. And I know the calorie count, but I don't obsess over it. I have 5 or 6 meals that I eat for lunch, and I've had them for the last couple years, and I alternate, and I know the calorie counts. I'm not planning the day before and fantasizing about the food. It's just in my freezer. So being prepared and living a lifestyle of health is a lot different from being totally concerned about every day and what you're going to put in your mouth.
Yeah, I guess it's the same difference between, like, you know, obsessive compulsive and wanting to have clean hands all the time. You know, it's, you don't want the germs, but you're not, you know, when you want to put them in your mouth, but you don't want to obsess and have, you know, be constantly cleaning. That's just, there's shades of gray here.
That's right. Well, I'm just going to sum up. There was a website called beyondveg.com, and they had a good summary of the differences between orthorexia and eating a healthy lifestyle. And they said that orthorexia should only be characterized when it is in the long term. And it said that paying attention to healthy food for a few weeks when it becomes a normal and healthy routine, not obsessed over, would not be considered a disorder. So when you start a new eating program or changing your lifestyle, that is not the disorder. You need to pay attention when you're first trying to change this around. When it has a significant negative impact on your life, you know, thinking about food to avoid the stresses of life, thinking about how food is prepared to avoid negative emotions, thinking about food just your entire day, that's where food rituals and compulsiveness start to come in.
So everybody out there should still keep planning their meals, and but just don't be compulsive about it.
That's right. And if you start to see something on the news, do you have orthorexia? Pretty much you don't. The problem with the news stories right now, they're listing these things, but they're not going into the extreme. So many people are thinking, yes, I must have orthorexia. I'm no longer going to plan what I'm going to eat tomorrow because I'm afraid of getting a mental illness. It simply doesn't work that way. But let's move on, Russ. What do you have for the recipe of the week? What have you been planning all week to tell us about?
Well, Jeff, you know what? Been trying to, you know, go change it up a little bit and maybe not do recipe. Thanks for the next few weeks here, I'm going to be highlighting some foods that I've found that have been great for my weight loss. Now, the first one I want to mention this week is a 130-calorie bagel. Yeah, it's from Sara Lee, and it's called 130 Calories and Delightful. They actually put a number of calories in the name of the food, which is kind of refreshing. You don't even have to look at the back to find out how many calories are in it. Now, most bagels that you see at the grocery store are twice that. And if you get a bagel from one of the bageleries here, from the real authentic ones near your house, it's at least triple that, if not more. Now, I use these when I make my homemade Egg McMuffin. Along with an egg, a slice of cheese, and a slice of Canadian bacon, it's under 300 calories and a great for a quick breakfast that you can take with you in your car. The bagel, instead of an English muffin, makes it just seem a little more sinful. You know, you're eating something that people don't eat when they're on, you know, quote-unquote diets. These bagels come in white and whole wheat, so you can take your pick. And I'll have a link in the show notes so you can check out all the other stats, the nutritional data on these.
Well, I have to say that I do enjoy a bagel. And part of the reason is because I like the weight of the bagel. I like to feel full. Another thing that I've been doing lately is I've been eating light rye bread, about 60 calories a slice, so I can have, you know, a sandwich, and the bread is only about 120 calories. So that's another trick as well.
I like it. Very good. All right, Jeff, so what is our homework for this week?
Well, this week's homework is all about fruit. Most people get in a rut of only eating the same two or three types of fruit all the time. In the summer, there's just so many varieties of fruit that are in season. Your goal is to eat 10 different types of fruit this week. If you want to become very adventurous, make at least five of those types of fruit ones that you have never tried before. Hopefully you'll find something new that you'll enjoy and start eating in the future.
Yeah, Jeff, we're blessed here in Long Beach, California with so many different kinds of fruits that that'll be easy. I'll do it. I'm in. All right, so what is our quote for this week?
Well, the quote this week was actually sent to us from Karen. And the quote is a Henry Miller quote, and it is, "In this age, which believes that there is a shortcut to everything, the greatest lesson to be learned is that the most difficult way is, in the long run, the easiest."
All right, great quote. Thank you, everyone, for participating in the show, for sending those quotes in. And if you have a favorite product that you like to eat when you're trying to slim down, or when you're just in that healthy lifestyle, you're just eating the way you're supposed to, something that helps you, that doesn't make you feel like you're depriving yourself of something, send that in to me, podcast@fattofitradio.com, and we'll include that on a future show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for downloading. And those show notes are at the website, fattofitradio.com. Just click on show number 97. That, we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.